teachings, where today's wisecracks are tomorrow's divine revelations. Dr. Holocaust said that just yesterday on alt.slack, and I told you this was going to be a new Subgenius 101. The world's first industrial church, they call it, tipping sacred cows since 1953. Instant instructions for those who follow no master. The perfect self-validating philosophy by which everything you know is in fact true. The Zorro of world religions, the divinity school of hard knocks. We are peripheral visionaries saving souls from themselves. Eternal salvation, dear friends, or triple your money back. That's right. If we don't live forever, we get our money back. Now, friends, last year here in the lovely city of Baltimore, I preached Subgenius 101 because I'm not preaching to the saved. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm trying to save the unsaved. I'm here to actually do the impossible, to explain the church of the subgenius. Now, luckily, the basics for we subgeniuses, it's very lucky, the basics are very simple. Bob, Slack, and the conspiracy. To sell a religion, you don't need all the answers, my friends. You only need one. And that answer is Bob. Bob is the answer that did not wait around for a question. Praise Bob. That's more like it. That's what I like to hear. The key to the gateway is his pipe, as it says in God, Ecclesians 3:14. Bob is our self-fulfilling prophet. And strange and wondrous things happen when you are around Bob. The blind hear. The deaf see. False teeth get swallowed. Suddenly win the lottery, and your enemies laugh themselves to death. Praise that man, Bob. Strange Rube Goldberg type machinery will spring up around him, for instance, when he needs a shoe shine or something. But the thing is, Bob does not plan anything. He just automatically tunes in to the plan that's already there. He doesn't think. He merely knows, but continuously forgets it. He only sells and never buys. He is an economic monopole, a singularity that could power a whole universe. But Bob himself doesn't do anything. The universe does it for him, or it does him, or he does the wrong thing, but perfectly. See, what makes Bob so powerful, what Bob has, is so much stronger than brains. He has luck. In his left brain, there's nothing right, and in his right brain, there's nothing left. Bob won't solve your problems, but he will help you to blow them off. You can't use Bob as a crutch, because he's already using you as a crutch, my friend. Replaces the drugs, just looking closely at the dots that comprise his face, eats up so many brain cells that it's just like using the drugs. He is, shall we say, the Chinese finger trap of the mind. That's what Bob is. But most importantly, above all else, Bob is a short duration personal savior. We're in a world of planned obsolescence. And Bob knows that you're not always going to be in the mindset where you definitely need Bob as your main personal savior. You might have to fall back on Jesus sometimes, or whatever you grew up with, or some porno star that you are enamored of. It's revolving messiahs. You will be one too yourself. In fact, you might be somebody's short duration personal savior right now and not even know it. You, on the other hand, might be a loner. A lot of subgeniuses are. You don't want some messiah breathing down your neck, waiting for you to check in and kiss his ass. And that's the wonderful thing about Bob. You can, if you want to be alone, you can be alone with Bob. Yeah! You can be with him brings not to forgive, but to rationalize your sins. He brings not forgiveness, but an excuse. And what did you really need? If you want your sins forgiven, friends, do it yourself. If you're a sub-genius, you're probably already pretty good at that. Jesus may have died for your sins, but Bob Dobbs made a damn fool of himself and of you for your sins. Praise his sweet name. He said, Bob said, I won't tell you what to do. I will only tell you how to think. And you will pay to know what you really think. It's so true, friends. Bob sold it, I smoked it, that settles it. It's as simple as that. Now, Bob is famous worldwide as the great traveling salesman of jokes, but more than that, for his own pithy aphorisms. The primary one of which is the only law, the one rule of our church, and I think you know it, friends. Fuck them if they can't take a joke! Also said, the subgenius must have slack. That doesn't mean you have to get slack. That means you must already have slack to be a subgenius. You're going to find out tonight how much slack you already had, especially once you leave and the noise stops. Bob also said you should choose the way you're going to get screwed. Some ways are fun. He said that, and this will come in handy on the job, my friends, if you act like a dumb shit, they will treat you as an equal. And you try that at work and you'll see what we mean. Pull the wool over your own eyes and relax in the safety of your own delusions. Bob said, too much is always better than not enough, he said. It's a lie, but it sounds good. Don't just eat that hamburger. Eat the hell out of it. Yes, friends, and every hamburger is the ultimate hamburger of slack. That's a secret I'm revealing today. The stupider it looks, the more important it probably is. I guess we're really important if that's the case. Science does not remove the terror of the gods, he said. He said, quote, I don't practice what I preach because I'm not the kind of person I'm preaching to. That one comes in handy for all us preachers. He said, I cannot lie, but I promise that I will. Think about that, but not for too long. Who died and made me God, he asked. Here's one you may not know. I'll find myself when they pry me out of my cold dead fingers, and my cold dead fingers out of my other cold dead fingers. Bob was an advocate of freedom from speech, and yet he still has all these quotes. Is something sacred, he once asked. Is something sacred? If you have a pipe, Bob will give you one, but if you do not have a pipe, he will take it away. The only reason any subgenius is still alive is because all pigs and humans are such cringing, craven, gutless wonders. But forgive them first, and then kill them. And finally, Bob said, life after death, why wait? Because, friends, Bob promises something greater than life or even death. Bob promises slack! Yes, slack! And so many people say, well, Reverend Stang, what is slack? Is that like when I drink a beer and watch TV? It might be. Slack is indefinable by definition. It's different for each person. It's pure, pure perception, unfettered by common sense. It's literally something for nothingness. Whatever works for you. If nothing works, then fine. Let it. You already have slack. That is the point of the Church of the Subgenius. You just haven't appreciated it yet. You have more slack than you can appreciate until it is taken away. You have it. In fact, friends, you have it all. You just haven't believed it yet. If slack was water, that man Bob would be surfing and you'd be drowning. That's how much slack there is around. You make the slack by making the effort to notice the slack that's already there. As Reverend Bleepo Abernathy said, just when you think you're only along for the ride, you look down and realize that the steering wheel is in your hands. slack is the state in which you need nothing because you have it already. Slack is always new and always improved. It can only be bought. It can never be sold. That's why the conspiracy can't win. But there's some people who are working too hard for slack, trying to smoke the pot of slack at the end of the rainbow. This poor fellow here is an obvious example. But slack, friends, is not the same as laziness. The term slacker is not the same kind of slack that Bob is talking about. Slack can, in fact, be frenzied overwork if it's the kind of work you wanted to do. And if, like me, you're an emergentile subgenius, this is my slack. Then there's involuntary slack, when some so-called disaster comes along, but it happens to be just what you needed to snap you out of a rut. The fact that the conspiracy continually pushes false slack in your face means that somewhere in the world there is real slack. Now, how do you find your own slack? It's so easy. You follow the path of least resistance. That's what Bob does. He surfs the luck plane. Luck is a physical particle, and you can attract those like a magnet, if you were Bob. As Onan Cannabite said, actually Onan said about half of what I'm saying, slack can come when you throw good money after bad and bad money after Bob. And you can do that at our lovely sales table down there. But then what is it that takes away your slack? So many ask. I ask you, what is it that takes away your slack? The stark fist of removal takes away your slack. The stark fist of removal, which is just a nice euphemism for Jehovah One, the twisted alien space god that has masqueraded as God for centuries. And so many cultures have fallen for it. Who are Jehovah One's chosen lab rats, my friends? Why, the subgeniuses! We are his chosen lab rats. We are the high unpredictables, as it says in pre-scripture. For the different shall triumph. And here's why. Because we ourselves don't really know what we're doing, we're always one jump ahead of the normal people. We have the power. The power of abnormality, the power of our weirdness, the power to turn bullshit into gold, and to harness your eccentricities, my friends. We're, as St. Joe Riley said, we are genetic stuntmen who feed on the unknown. Now, some subgeniuses lead lives of ear-splitting desperation. But you don't have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan was wrong. You can serve yourself. For the subgenius demands a miracle before anything else has been tried. Look at the word subgenius. It means technically just under a genius. Almost anybody could qualify. It's not the intelligence. It's not that we're smart. It's that we're lucky. The whole point is, it's not the intelligence, but how you use it. You can get high scores on tests and still not be able to think for yourself. You can be 90% dead and still put in a full day of work on the job. As Bob said, I'd rather be lucky than good any day. And that's why Bob can do magic and you can't, because he doesn't know any better. We'd rather be our idea of stupid than their idea of smart. Bob said, I'd rather have the right people laughing at me than the wrong people laughing with me. So friends, you see, we practice, everybody rationalizes, but better than that is irrationalization. Irrationalizing. The subgenius is a sap. An SAP, self-amusing personality. We don't need the conspiracy's trinkets. A subgenius can keep himself amused as long as he keeps up the FIB. The faith in Bob, my friend. Keep up the FIB. Now people go, well, what is a this up. What's a typical? Explain a typical subgenius to me. My friends, there is no such thing. If any two are alike, one must die. Typical subgenius behavior is defined as, quote, anything other than typical subgenius behavior. All subgeniuses are born criminals because of crimes against normality. We are always guilty. And another thing we try to be guilty of is the casting out of false prophets. That's really our specialty. Now, before you go unmasking false prophets right and left, you might want to peel off that thing that's super glued to your own face. But really, you know, there's this whole world is a factory of false prophets. Major assholes and even more private assholes doing their bidding. And what I'm talking about is the conspiracy. And now, you already, I'm not talking about the trendy conspiracies, JFK, Area 51, Masonic, Satanic, Pagan, Jew, Illuminati's from Viacom. No, sir. The conspiracy I'm talking about is bigger than liberal or conservative. How many conspiracies does it take to oppress all subgeniuses everywhere for all history?
One!
That's why somebody's been reading their prescriptions. Only one conspiracy. The conspiracy of the normal people. The sheep in wolf's clothing. There's sure, there's so many little conspiracies, there's bound to be one just for you. But the big conspiracy is part of the very air we breathe. It is even, my friends, part of you and me. It is the con, the code of normality, an attitude of pinkness, a yearning for cuteness, an eagerness to obey, a hatred of everything that's really real, and a disbelief in God. The conspiracy doesn't have to get most people because they've been had all along. They're as safe as a lobster in a goddamn seafood restaurant tank. You know, as Bob pointed out, you know how dumb the average guy is? Well, by definition, half of them are even dumber than that. Nightmarish but true. I'm talking about the pinks, the pink boys, the mediocritans, the somnambulax, the assholes, the cage men, the income poops, the mole people, the proletariatorials, hylers and smilers, sloths and moths, Barbies and Kens, cons and Johns, corpulators, underalls, and the sad thing is, the normals cannot become like us, but we can become like them. And my friend, there but for the face of Bob go I. Now, life comes without any rule books, so creepy old men write rule books. And then millions of people inflict false slack upon themselves because they think that God is as big of an asshole as they are. Because they believe in an invisible monster in the sky, there is one. But thanks to Bob, there is also a you that can fight back. You can turn the tables on God, my friend. And this death thing, what was the big idea behind that, God? Speaking of which, I have a letter to Forrest J. Ackerman, the editor of Famous Monsters of Filmland, who is on his deathbed. And if any of you are old Famous Monsters fans, see me to sign that letter, and we're going to mail it off on Monday. See, friends, once they've gotten you to believe one impossible thing, you can get yourself to believe any impossible thing. And what's so pathetic is not the trite crap that they believe, but it's the fact that they can believe it at all. As Charlie Muck said to Philo, miracles happen constantly all around us. Daily supernatural miracles. The most miraculous one of all is that so many people can believe such utter bullshit. Of course, telling everybody who's smart and dumb is a good indication that you've got the two reversed. Almost everybody secretly suspects that they might be a little smarter than most people, but the real dumbasses know they are. The dumber they are, in fact, the more sure they are that they're right about how much smarter they are than everybody else. You see, the less you know, the more sure you are of what little you do know. And contrary-wise, the more you know, the less sure you are of any of it. You don't know, my friends, and you won't until you know you don't. We know we don't know anything, and that makes us twice as smart as all them know-it-alls. We were called to be disbelievers. believers, we were chosen. We believe only in the gods and aliens that told us not to believe in them. Something for nothing can come your way. And even if it doesn't, if you believe in it, you'll think it did. Who says there's no such thing as magic? You know those little hints and coincidences that happen that make you feel like you're in a movie? We call them idiosynchronicities. Bob makes those things happen so that your brain will interpret them as meaningful. That's the magic happening. If you don't know what to eat, Onam said, try food. If you don't know what to believe, give Bob a dollar. Friends, we don't look down on the pinks because we think we're smarter or even right. We look down on them because we got Bob and they don't, and for that we can hate them. We're not saying we're smarter, just better. Yes, friends. We see the bars of a cage that they don't even know they're in, and yet we're stuck in here with them. But God hasn't finished with me yet, people say. God hadn't finished with you yet? Well, my friend Bob Dobbs hasn't even started in on you. When he does, he will be slack with a vengeance. Now, I've just made it halfway through Subgenius 101. And I believe I'm going to let y'all take a break from hearing my preaching voice. I'll be back up here and finish. By the time I finish, you will know how much you don't know. And that's like knowing everything. The only question... Okay. Friends, it looks like you're in love. It's not going to be me yakking for another 5 seconds. It's going to be an incredible band that we saw play at our outdoors nudist camp out of X Day. Be glad they're wearing clothes this time, friends. The amazing Versificators are in the house. Praise the Versificators.